The arrival of the former president's flag-draped coffin marks the beginning of a ceremony steeped in military tradition. Every step, every movement, every detail has been carefully choreographed. To learn more about the ceremony and its roots, we turn to John Austin. He's the director of the Museum of Funeral Customs in Springfield, Illinois. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon. It's great to be with you, Michelle.
State funerals, as we know them today, were actually eschewed by the nation's founders, who feared that the pomp and circumstance of the interment was too reminiscent of the British rule that they had rejected. So how did this tradition come to these shores?
Well, we first see it historically appearing when Lincoln was assassinated. Benjamin Baker French, who was the commissioner of public buildings in Washington, D.C., was charged with the assignment of developing this lavish funeral ceremony. And so he had nothing to refer back to, a precedent, other than to hearken back to ancient Greece and Rome. He looked back to funeral ceremonies for crowned heads of Europe, and remember, Prince Albert of Great Britain had died in 1861, so it was a fairly short look back. The Duke of Wellington, other very prominent military figures, had died and were recognized on a very lavish scale. So in Lincoln's case, they wanted to create a very impressive ceremony.
And the state funerals as we see them today are elegant and they're elaborate, but they're not exactly lavish. I mean, the custom of carrying a president's casket on a caisson, where does that originate?
My research indicates that it is simply a military field vehicle that would be common for artillery, and as a result of it already being on the battlefield, it was a convenient conveyance in order to remove soldiers' remains from the battlefield to the back of the line. I understand that in this case, as in all state funerals for chief executives, a riderless horse is included, and that actually dates back to Roman military days, where a Roman military general who had died in battle was given the honor of being carried in a very elaborate procession, and behind the coffin was led that warrior's horse, and then the horse, unfortunately, would be slaughtered at the gravesite in a connection that we think back to ancient Egypt, so that when he rises in resurrection, he could then charge back into battle or charge into an afterlife.
Now, we should note in this case, the riderless horse
Correct.
Will not be slaughtered.
Absolutely.
The Reagan family had planned very carefully for this funeral, and they filed a 300-page plan with the Military District of Washington in 1989, shortly after President Reagan left office. Is that common procedure for an aging president?
I'm not certain if it is common. It would certainly make sense in order to make sure that all details are handled. And in this case, the president would have had an opportunity to participate in his own planning so that if there were areas of personalization, that interest could be expressed. For example, the burial before sunset. I'm assuming that's a very personal choice by Mr. and Mrs. Reagan, and there's probably a greater deal of symbolism on a personal level that we may never know.
John Austin, thanks for talking to us.
You're very welcome, Michelle.
John Austin is director of the Museum of Funeral Customs in Springfield, Illinois.